This is the Lunch Bite with Ian Bass.
Benji Lovett, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, or as we say in my town, how's it?
How's it? Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. So you know the lingo, hey?
Benji, I do.
Welcome to the Lunch Bite. Welcome to our community here in Johannesburg, South Africa. As I mentioned to you in our brief chat earlier, we're in a very different situation this year as a year with Pesach coming up. Tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us how your quarantine has been, because I understand you've been in some quarantine of late.
What can I tell you? I am from the United States, from Dallas, Texas. Lots of South Africans there. I moved to Israel in 2006, and I'm not complaining. I'm actually doing pretty well. So, you know, I'm a single guy. I know it's tough with families, but, you know, it could be much worse. So I'm trying to be positive.
Absolutely. So Benji, tell us, you're also in a very similar situation in Israel, as I say, where there are significant restrictions in terms of making sure we're all socially distancing and kind of being locked down and all of that. You've been catching up on some Seinfeld. Huh? What other stuff have you been doing besides watching Seinfeld? And what have you learned during the time?
So I was in the States for 2 weeks.
Right.
No, that's not right. That's not correct. I was supposed to be in the States for 2 weeks for comedy shows. I had to cut my trip short. I came back to quarantine for 2 weeks. I've now been in just lockdown for about a week and a half. And, you know, the first week was just sort of getting used to it. I did a lot of cooking, more than I've ever done before. I've watched a lot of Seinfeld. And I guess last week I spent a lot of my time making a little Pesach holiday video, which just went over 50,000 views this morning on Facebook. So that's nice. So, you know, I'm trying to make the best of it.
Okay, that's cool. And there's a lot of stuff that you're posting, which is delightful. And I'm going to share that, with the listeners, because it doesn't do justice to play it on the radio. But, I'm going to share that on Facebook a little bit later. Benji, let's turn track to this whole situation and trying to get a little bit serious now, but putting a bit of humor into it. So tell me, you're a comedian. You do a lot of stand-up. You entertain people in that. Is it okay to laugh during this time?
Oh, my God, yes. I mean, you know, to speak as a member of the Jewish people anyway, you know, it's clear that our sense of humor has helped keep us going for thousands of years. And, you know, better to laugh than to cry. So, I mean, people in Israel are better or I guess more used to laughing than anyone else, having gone through 71 years of good times here. So, absolutely. You know, if you're laughing at the right thing with the right intent in the right context, anything is a topic of humor.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if we look at the situation, we're all exposed to this coronavirus and it's affecting all of us. So I guess everybody's open to a little bit of humor.
Yeah, I mean, for 2 or 3 weeks, I was just joking on Facebook nonstop. And look, you know, it's not making fun of victims who are dying. It's making fun of ourselves and the situations we're in. Like one thing I posted on Facebook, which is like, you know, the government is saying we have to keep a distance of 2 meters. And I'm like, crap. And now I got to learn the metric system. You know, I'm American. I'm going to die because I'm American. I don't know what a meter is. Is that like 10 pounds? I don't know. So, you know, making fun of the isolation and everything we're going through. And, I've been doing a lot of online stand-up shows. I actually have one on Sunday for a South African group in Cape Town, but, there's a lot to laugh about.
Okay. Well, that's cool. And yeah, so for listeners that are interested in that, you can certainly go out and have a look for Benji's show. Benji's going to be doing a show, for South Africans and no doubt with a bit of searching, Benji will be able to find that. Okay? So tell me,
I think it's for the Israel Center, by the way. Is that what it's called?
Okay, cool. Yeah, the Israel Center. Yeah. So no doubt it would have gone out to the broader community and I'll make sure that. So excited to have Benji Lovett on the line. He's joining us from Tel Aviv, Israel. And before we get back to Benji to talk about some of the incredible stuff he's been posting on Facebook and other social media channels, I just want to remind listeners that during this time of being alone, especially during the next 21 days, And also now during the Pesach time, you need to know about the Chai FM helpline. The Chai FM helpline now has a check-in service. Our counselors will call you on a regular basis to check in and make sure you're okay. It's available to anyone of any age who feels the need for it. Make contact with us by calling the helpline on 0800-24-24-36. Let me repeat that. It's 0800-24-24-36. Chai FM, 101.9 megahertz of serving the community. Benji, let's get back to you. So you did an incredible piece on Facebook. I'm going to share it because it doesn't do justice, as I say, to play it on the radio. But tell us a little bit about what inspired you to do the story for 2020, which is titled "Twas the Night Before Pesach."
Okay, so as a content creator, I like to put stuff out into the world, and it's really easy to post little one-liners on Facebook. Not as easy to do stuff which takes more time investment, especially videos, especially when you're not actually a videographer. So, over the years, I've had a lot of ideas. Like any creative person, the majority of them never see the light of day. But with all the time on our hands, I really wanted to do a Passover video. And the truth is, I actually did a Purim video 2 years ago called "Twas the Night Before Purim." And if you go check it out, I basically took "Twas the Night Before Christmas," I changed the words, I wrote an original Purim story, and I had kids record it. I basically used the children of my friends. And let me tell you, if you thought kids were not good actors, you were right. But I got them to record one line each, send it to me. I edited it together. And I did the same thing for Passover. And it didn't occur to me, but it's the only holiday video I've seen, I guess, because people can't get together and record things. So it was a great format. People like kids and cats, but cats could not read the lines off the script. So it just went over 50,000 views. And let's just say it's unique to this year's Seder. So if people watch, I think they'll get a kick out of it.
They'll appreciate it. And I think the part, without giving too much away, because we're going to spoil it, but one of the things is that, and you mentioned to me also earlier that you're also celebrating Pesach and Chag away from your family in the U.S. How are you celebrating your Seder this year?
I thought I was going to, come down to South Africa and celebrate with you, Ian, but then the lockdown happened, so we'll have to push that off to next year.
That's such a pity. You're always welcome.
Oh, thank you. So I'm doing it over Zoom with my family. I completely intended to wake up in the middle of the night to do it with them, but they decided to do a lunch Seder over there. So I'm tonight I will be leading it over Zoom, and I'm fully expecting to pull my hair out doing tech support for my parents during the Seder. So the bitter tears may be coming out of my eyes tonight, but I think it'll be really nice.
Okay, that sounds awesome. And you've spoken a little bit about how things have had to adjust, and we've had to adjust, and no doubt your business and what you do has had to change, and you've had to move your business online. How challenging has that been? And maybe for our listeners, what advice could you give people that now don't really have a choice? We need to actually change our outlook, but we still need to keep being productive. So what lessons have you learned about moving your business online, and where have you seen the challenges?
The biggest lesson I could give the listeners is don't be a comedian. it's not an easy job. People don't really, I would say not even appreciate emotionally, but just intellectually, people don't really understand stand-up comedy unless they've done it. And it just is sort of the last, art form that could work online. With music, you could listen to music in the background, a play, a musical, but comedy only works if the audience is laughing, and it has to be in a specific environment, and it doesn't really work online. That said, when there's a global pandemic, you make the best of it, and I've actually sort of succeeded in figuring out how to make the best of it. So I've done a bunch of shows online, and again, like everything, you just sort of lower your expectations and you take it for what it is.
Yeah, and I think it's an opportunity, as you've said, you've done things that you've probably always thought about doing, but you've never had the courage to do it, or you get distracted by other things. Now's the opportunity to really be bold and go out and do that. And I hear what you're saying. As a comedian, it must be terrible to have to tell jokes over Zoom and not sure if people are actually laughing.
Yeah, it's funny. It's so the format seems to be, I mean, if everyone's volume is on, anyone who's done a Zoom call knows that even one person making any noise with any static ruins it for everyone else. But yeah. If you put everyone on mute, it's just simply awful. Like, you can't have a comedy show with no one laughing. It's bad for the performer. It's bad for the audience. So the formula seems to be mute everyone except like 5 or 10 people, which is enough for everyone to enjoy it. But yeah. Look, that's what if you know anything about Israelis, you know, one of the stereotypes is that, you know, I guess the two sides of the stereotype is one that they're last minute and disorganized. The other side is that they're incredibly resourceful and improvisational. So, I've learned from, that latter side of the coin. And, I guess the entrepreneur in me is figuring out how to adapt. So, thanks Israel for teaching me that.
Well, that's great to hear that you've learned something. And just picking up on what you've just said is that a lot of your comedy and that focus is on cultural differences. And I'd love to hear, coming from the U.S., because no doubt it's very similar from a South African perspective, but what are the cultural differences between Israelis and elsewhere in the world that you've noticed? And maybe specifically in terms of coronavirus, have there been any, like, themed jokes that kind of have caught you by surprise?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, so you asked me, I think the first question was what I had learned during this time. And, you know, so one of the stereotypes I joke about, and I know South Africans probably think, you know, they're very different from Americans, but let me tell you, when you put all the English speakers together in Israel, we sort of, find our commonalities. And, you know, you have sort of the Israelis on one side and the Anglos or the English speakers on the other. So the stereotype is that, you know, Israelis are rude and that, Anglos are fake. But Israelis are not rude as much as they are direct, straightforward, real. Mm. And it just was shocking to me. For the first 2 weeks I was in quarantine, I couldn't leave my apartment. And so many people offered to bring me groceries, including my next door neighbor, who I've actually never met because they just moved in. I've never even seen them, but they brought me stuff. No questions asked. People are so generous. And I had not experienced that same hospitality in the States. So, and now I feel the need to pay it forward. So, there's something about this place and the size of it and the communal aspect that makes you really, feel responsible for one another. And that's, you know, hey, that's what it's all about being Jewish, right?
Absolutely. It's about us being a community. And, we've definitely felt that here in South Africa, because we're very small, but we're very tight and we're a very strong community. And this has been very difficult for a lot of people, not being able to interact and be together, yet we've found ways to overcome that. You do a lot of writing as well, Benji. What are you going to take out of this in terms of looking forward? Is this something that you feel we're living through history, or are we in a position where we're going to create history? If you had to maybe push yourself 10 or 15 years into the future and look back at this, where would you see that? Would you just see this as a moment in time that we all had to go through? Or do you see this as a moment in time where the world actually changes and it's going to be the strong leaders and individuals that come out and make that change?
And I think it's both. I mean, you know, I'm not an economist
I don't want the economy side of it. There's many economists out there that are struggling. Yeah.
Right. But I mean, like, no one knows what's going to happen. I think people are saying this will fundamentally change our entire societies, our economies and this and that, and our labor force. But, you know, on one hand, we will look back and as a sort of a blip, like, what did we do every day for 2 months? But, you know, I told a family member that the ones who adapt are the ones who, at least in the short term, are going to be successful and, you know, at least, you know, keep making money. But, I do believe that if there's things that are on your list or on our to-do lists, if they don't happen now, they're probably not going to happen. So, you know, would love to write a book during this time. If I don't, I probably never will. But, we also have to be easy on ourselves and know that, nobody's getting a lot done. These are tough times. If you've got kids, it's hard to take care of them. But, Somebody said it best a couple of weeks ago. There have been just an incredible number of images and memes and videos going around. And someone said, you know, our parents had the Holocaust or the Great Depression, you know, or our grandparents had to go to war. We're being asked to sit on our butts. So, you know, we can do this. So, you know, it's not easy for a lot of reasons, but there are worse things that, than just getting through it and sitting at home. And thank God for the internet.
Yeah. And I think that being said, we are fortunate. We should be grateful for the things that we do have. Because if we didn't have the internet, this would be a lot worse. And those are the things that we tend to forget about. And I know that often it's very easy to kind of gravitate towards the negative. And
yeah, I have to say that this actually just happened. So Pesach is tonight, and a couple of local organizations were advertising a Seder in a box, starting out at 200 shekels, like, I don't know, $50, probably, what is that, a million rand?
Just kidding.
So 200 shekels for, you know, your bare bones, everything you need for tonight. So I bought it. I said, you know, what the heck, I'm just going to buy it and not worry about it. And I got it last night. And I open it up, and there's not much there. I actually thought they had forgotten, like, the main course. But fine, I don't care. What are you going to do? And I look online, and a lot of people are complaining, how dare they? And, you know, we should get a full refund, and I'm going to sue them. And I'm thinking, like, you know what? We're living in an awful time. Like, they tried to do a great thing. You know, would you rather be our ancestors wandering in the desert? Like, we're the lucky ones that have roofs over our heads and are healthy. Like, it stinks. It's going to be a tough Passover for everybody. But, like, you know, what are we going to do? You know, complain about our crappy Seder box? So, you know, it could be much worse.
Absolutely. And I think that's our tendency is to focus on like how we can be the victims rather than how we can be how we can take it upon ourselves to be the leaders. And I think what I've seen and that's what I love about people that come out like yourself and say it as it is, because that's what I think it's important to do is just to be honest and look at it and not shy away from the fact that we're going through difficult times, but looking at a refreshing way of how much worse life could be and how lucky we are. Tell me a little bit more about, before we go to an ad break, I want you to think first of all, because we have a segment on the show coming up called What's Cooking. So think about how you're going to tell South Africans what you're preparing for your Seder meal. So that you've got to think about.
That'll be a short question. Let me tell you.
Okay. Well, it's good. You better think of a longer answer because, you know, as South Africans here, we always like food and food is very high on our priority. So I am putting you on the spot, Benji, here. So
it's just be good.
So be good. You started out and this is something that I read about you, which I found fascinating, is during probably one of the most difficult times in Israel's history, which was during 2014, during Operation Protective Edge, you took a humorous view and an observation on the war that was framed, I think, the only reason to go on Facebook. I'd like to come back after the ad break and ask you, how was that? How did people react and how did you manage the different responses, considering we live in a world where we're judged by social media? It's gone 12:38, so that's 22 minutes to the hour of 1 o'clock. You're listening to the Lunch Bite. This is the Area of Pesach edition. And I've got on the line with me from Tel Aviv, Benji. Benji, thank you so much for making the time. I know that you've also got to prepare for Chag. And you've stepped out of that role to help us out. So, before the break, I was asking you about, how do you respond? You know, you go out on a limb, you go out and you take a different approach to situations. How do you deal with, the responses that you get back typically on social media and I guess your critics?
Well, I don't really have any, I have to say. I mean, you know, there have been a couple of times over the years where I've published some satire and worried, you know, I hope the anti-Israel crowd doesn't get a hold of this, but they don't. You know, during 2014 when we were at war, that's when sort of everyone's on the same side. And I was just, again, you're not usually making fun of the enemy. You're making fun of, you know, you're either making fun of yourself or what we're going through or Hamas and, you know, no one who's reading it is gonna dispute anything I'm writing. So everyone's sort of on the same side then. Mm-hmm. Let's say I'm not being so offensive that I've got lots of critics.
Would you consider yourself as being controversial, or do you just go out and take a situation and look at the humorous side of it?
No, I don't think I'm controversial. You know, I think as I've talked about this topic a lot, but I think a lot of the world is going nuts and sort of losing their mind when it comes to political correctness and not being able to understand context. So if I said, I hope this joke is famous in South Africa, the old "Why did the chicken cross the road?" Is that universal?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is universal. Go for it.
So it's like someone saying, chickens are murdered by millions. How dare you make that joke? Yes, but that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. So, you know, people can hear certain words and not give you the benefit of the doubt and assume it's controversial, and they'd be wrong. So, fortunately, most people are smart enough, I think, to know that, everything I'm saying is within, the reasonable lines. And I've done a good job of also training my audience to understand which side I'm on.
Okay, cool. And you do a lot of work in promotion of Israel and going out there and working with organizations. How do you fit in with that? Do you bring it from a Zionistic perspective, or do you bring it from a perspective of don't take the situation too serious? Is that we're all human beings and we can all agree to disagree, if I can put it that way.
Well, it's interesting. I think 10 years ago I would have said, I would have used the word Hasbara more, which I guess your audience knows, sort of PR. But I've been here a long time. Look, I come from the Zionist world. I come from my youth movement and all these organizations, which you're familiar with. But I've been here a long time. I think I don't have to come out and say it clearly that you should support Israel. People get it. There are so many reasons to not laugh when it comes to the situation and to be stressed out when it comes watching the news. And my message is just have a sense of humor. It's that people get it, even if I don't come out and say it, that this is a magical place and it's more than what you see on the news and it's important to laugh. I think people get it, even if I don't have to come out and say it as much anymore through my experiences and Q&A and the different things I've gone through. I fit nicely into that world, but I don't have to come out and talk politics.
That's awesome, Benji. And I think for me, that's the important thing, is that sometimes you don't actually have to say the message, but you just have to give a different feeling or a different approach. And I think that how you've done that is really remarkable. And thank you so much for once again taking the time to make us laugh. And before we get into our cooking segment, and then I'm going to let you go shopping because I know you've got quite a bit to do. Tell us more. How can our listeners get hold of you in terms of reading the stuff that you write, following your stuff? What are your preferred platforms to suggest to the listeners?
Well, since it's 2020, there are about a million of them.
That's why I specifically said preferred, you know.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm very easy to find. My name is Benji Lovett, or you could probably Google Benji Israel or Benji Comedy Jewish. Mm-hmm. You'll find me. So my website, BenjiLovett.com, has lots of videos and tons of articles I've written over the years. Facebook I'm pretty active on, more than Instagram, but yeah, start there. Facebook, YouTube, website.
Cool. That sounds awesome. And then, as you mentioned a little bit earlier, you're going to be doing an hour of comedy. You're going to be doing that for the Israel Center on Monday. This coming Monday. So if you go
Sunday,
out and Google
Sunday.
It. Sunday.
Monday. Monday. You're right.
Monday. It's one of the days. You know, one of the days of the week. We're all confused.
Right.
You know, I think we've kind of given up on remembering the days. So yeah, go and check that out. And Benji's going to be doing an hour of comedy. That's going to be done in conjunction with the Israel Center and the South African Zionist Federation. So that's going to be awesome.